Tomorrow I'll invent those blueprints. Tomorrow I'll stop.
What's going on, people? It's your boy Corey. And my man, Mr. Kirk.
What's up?
And welcome back to Tomorrow Owl, people. What will you do tomorrow? What will you do today to achieve your creative dreams? I'm Corey. That's Kirk. And I am doing a little bit of a bedcast today because I'm not feeling too awesome. But I also don't want you guys to see the not-so-awesomeness either. So I'm just going to be the disembodied voice today.
That's what's going on. Well, shit. Tease the people with a promise of a bedcast, and then you don't even show up.
I know. Can't even see the chest or anything. Mm-hmm. I usually have the chest out a little bit, but... Right.
Just in your... Deep within your meditation chamber.
Very
immersed,
deep.
Immersed in darkness.
My little nest over here. You know how I do it. You know how I do it.
I think you're just bullshitting me and were bit by a vampire last night.
Yeah. So I can be a Blackula?
Yes, you can be a Blackula.
That'd be kind of cool.
Until what's his face comes after you, the dude from Venture yeah. Brothers.
Oh, true. Yeah.
The hell's his name?
The Blackula Hunter. What was his name again?
I know it's Lincoln something, but it's not Lincoln Osiris because that's Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. Let me look this up. This is the advantage of not having my face on. Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, happy 4th of July. Either way, there.
4th of July.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's another year of independence and all that good stuff, right? You know, yeah. Celebrating America one year at a time.
That's right.
All that stuff. Yeah. Actually, you know what I did yesterday?
What'd you do?
Tonight I was actually going to possibly go to the drive-in and all that stuff. So I want to say about 2 years ago, I went to go see Independence Day, had a date. Independence Day at the drive-in, but it was like my first time at the drive-in in Texas. Mm-hmm. And it was like a small parking lot with like an inflatable screen.
That's right. Yeah.
But last year I had gone to the drive-in and they do it's the Blue Starlight for those of you that are in town. And they do, like, they have a downtown location, so you get to be, like, get, like, a nice 360 view of the city and all that stuff, you know, while you have, like, a nice big screen. So that's always good. So I was going to do that, but I went to the movies yesterday, and I went to see that new Purge movie.
Oh, yeah? How was that? Yeah.
Dude, it was pretty good, man. I mean, I'll say this. I hadn't tuned in on the last, like, two or so. And then they have a series, of course, that's out. And this one was like very, very culturally relevant, or not, well, culturally relevant, or just kind of like current events relevant. It was
ripped from the headlines.
Yeah, like U.S.-Mexico border type of stuff, or like U.S.-Canada border type of stuff. Without giving anything away. They kind of go the usual established characters type of bit. Purge is on, do a little bit of Purge night, but this isn't just focus on like the night. It was like, all right, now it's daytime, and you know, the night's over, everyone's happy. But the thing is, like, it's from the title, you know, the Forever Purge, like, they just don't stop. So it gets kind of nutty after that, for sure. So it's very interesting. It's a interesting, probably an appropriate film to come out for, you know, 4th of July weekend, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like kind of hitting it over the head, but, you know, these are the times we live in and stuff. It can get a little scary out there with, you know, people who... You know, may not be too keen on, you know, folks of different walks of life. So, yeah. So, I mean, I think it came at a good time for sure. But, yeah, that was my little Independence Day celebration movie.
Gotcha. Is the Purge Blumhouse? Is that out of that?
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like their Saw or Fast and Furious at this point, with the number of iterations there are.
Dude, it's gotta be. I mean, it's up there. I remember I saw the first one in theaters. Second one, I think I've seen in theaters. The third one, I think I've probably seen it, but I don't remember. It was about, there's a fourth. I think there was a fifth. So it's like Purge, Purge 2, Purge Anarchy. And then like the first Purge or whatever. And then there was like a series, and then
Purge Independence Day.
Yeah.
Purge Independence Day.
Yeah, there are a lot of a lot of different titles and iterations. But yeah, I think at this point this is their F9, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Which I was almost tempted to see, but I'm like, I don't want to spend money on that. Like, I don't know. Is it on HBO Max though?
I don't know.
I'm gonna have to check that out. If it's on HBO Max, I'll probably watch that today because I'm a captive audience today. So, but yeah. So either way. Welcome to the show, guys. This is just a Purge talk.
Yeah, and for those of you playing along at home, the name of the Blackula Hunter from Venture Brothers is Jefferson Twilight.
There you go. Really?
Yep. Jefferson Twilight.
I must have not paid attention to his name when they had mentioned it. Because I don't remember that shit at all. Jefferson Twilight.
Yes, part of the Order of the Triad along with the Alchemist and Dr. Orpheus.
Yes.
Mr. Venture.
Is there the guy
anything like him?
No. Well, it was a little bit kind of there.
No.
Kind of.
Don't encourage me.
Which one? Well, if we're talking about like it sounded like more like one of the monarch henchmen for like a you're pretty good at that. Yeah.
I can say things. It doesn't sound like it's just like certain words. I'd have to practice that way more.
You have to practice
and
it.
And not on air.
No.
You need to listen to me practice my Venture Brothers impressions.
No, you make them pay for it on Patreon.
That's right. Silly Sounds with the Boys.
You still got to do that at some point.
Yeah.
So all that aside, what are we getting into today, Mr. Kirk?
Well, I guess I'm sort of obliquely related to the Purge. I wanted to talk about fear. Like,
yes.
fear of change.
Oh, wow.
I think you just finished reading The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. So I think that's also pretty relevant right now.
For sure. That was a long time in the making as well.
Mm-hmm. I really thought I was going to read it to you.
I thought so too. I mean, you did, at least like the foreword, you had read to me and all that stuff. And then I'd taken the initiative, people, to go past that and read it myself for about like 50 pages or so. I put it down, life kind of got in the way. And I realized that I was also just being super, super resistant for anybody that's, read that book.
Mm-hmm.
I have like every chapter is about me.
And that's the beauty of that book. It's about anybody. It's a powerful thing.
It is very powerful. And getting into it a little bit more, like when I had picked it back up yesterday, and I went out like the night before. And all that stuff. So I was kind of like, it was a very slow moving day for me. I got up a little bit late and I was like, I kind of want to do some stuff today, but I had been feeling kind of stagnant in my creativity. But also, we're working on
some big projects.
Working on some big projects. So we're doing a lot of planning right now. So there's not a crazy need for me to put pencil to paper yet. which my computer was working so I could do some digital stuff. But it was kind of a nice time to like take a step back and really reflect and say, all right, you know, what do you want to make and how are you going to go about making it? Also, I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling kind of lost. I got to get back into this book because I can't just go off of the first 50 pages and be like, oh, I know all the things I need to do, especially since it was just more of it kind of taking me down a path of like, oh my God, I do this. Oh my God, I do that too. Oh my, I am the worst. I'm like, I hate myself. Like, why do I do these things? And I hadn't gotten to the point in the book where I was seeing how do you make this change now. So I was kind of still stuck in that realm of like, oh, I'm going to keep making these excuses or like, oh, you know, I'm just not feeling like, you know,
You got through the I'm going to break you down part, but not the I'm going to build you back up.
Yeah, dude. I was like, when is this going to end? I'm like, there's so many like forms of resistance and all that. And I'm like, I do literally all of them. And so finally, I got to the point where it was just like, all right, now this is how we go pro. And I was like, thank God, because I was just thinking, like, damn, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to, you know, get through this thing, or like, I don't think that this is ever going to like turn around. And it finally did. And I told myself, okay, well, maybe I'll stop at like page 80 or 90. And I'll pick it back up later. And I was like, you know what? No. We're going to finish this book. I'm like, before you do anything today, this was yesterday, before you do anything, before you leave this house, you're going to finish this book. Because it's gonna open you up a little bit more. It's gonna get you thinking, and it's gonna motivate you, right? Because everything I was reading before that, guys, was just like not feeling very motivating. It was just kind of like I've been kind of diamond dumps for like past 2 weeks or so, and there's like some just things kind of going on in my life, and work and other stuff like that, and bills, of course. And I was like, ah, jeez. This is not lifting me up, but it turned around, and I realized there were small, tiny, tiny, tiny little baby steps that I could take in order to get to that turning pro, but also a lot of kind of like little stories and sound advice that was in there that I'm like, I needed to read this in order to make things seem like they were more possible. And it's not going to happen overnight, but I know taking those small steps, it would, vastly improve my current situation and anybody's current situation. And if they're feeling like, oh my God, I love this thing so much, but I can't show it to people. It's like, one of the main things, I guess, was being able to separate yourself in that way. Like the professional is able to say, all right, I need to get this thing done and I need to show it or display it. And it's going to get critiqued. And I wouldn't say 100% I was, there have been definitely times where I was thinking amateur or behaving like an amateur for sure. But there have been times where I've been on the professional level as well. And it's weird because it's kind of like a stock market. It's like a lot of ups and downs. Like I've gone through a lot of peaks and valleys with it. But now the most important thing is trying to stay at that kind of like plateau of, all right, you've been able to be consistent and realize that, hey, you just, sit down and do your work. And all right, well, now you need to put the work out. And one of my favorite things in the book was when he's talking about he had finished his sorry I'm like jumping around a lot. It's just, there's just so much, there's so much to unpack, and it's like such a great book. But one of the things that he was talking about was when he finished I think one of his like first novels or whatever, he'd finished it, and he was telling his friend, it's like, oh man, I finished the book, all that stuff, feel great, yeah, I did. And his friend was like, no reaction, was just like, cool, start writing the next one. It's just that idea of like, it took so long to do this first one, you're kind of in this zone, Mm-hmm. Like, you got to get on that next one immediately, because you know it's going to take a lot of work, and you know, you're not trying to over celebrate it. Like, it's an achievement, right? But
right,
it's just, it's a normal thing. Like, it's just like, all right, crank it out. You're kind of being that machine, but you know, don't take so much stake in like, oh my god, I did it and it's amazing and blah blah blah. It's like,
well, do you think, like, in a way that can become that can keep you from doing more work? You get like I did this, I've completed this project now, like, that's, you know, they talk about the resistance and like your ego doesn't want to change, so you've gone through this whole process, there is, you know, potentially a large financial reward or some kind of financial reward at the end. You've gotten to the end and like, okay, you've done the hard thing. Now your ego's like, now we don't have to do any hard things ever again. Like, it's reached that new point of homeostasis where it's just like, aha, a plateau. Here's where we stay forever. And you think that's why people are like, just get the, like, jam it out, do more work.
Yeah, because you don't want to keep feeling, I guess, comfortable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, when the, geez, I just had the thought. I just lost it. Sorry, guys. I'm, you know, like I said, I'm on pain medication, which is kind of like, my mind just goes blank for a minute. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like fear. So going back to fear, our main topic of the day, kids, with that, you know, they describe it as like, you know, the warrior still has fear. Mm-hmm. You know, the artist still has fear. Like, I have fear. Kirk has fears. Like, we all have those fears. And the thing is, like, you're never going to stop being afraid.
Oh, no.
You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to wait to stop being afraid in order to make something. It's just like, it's the fear that should inspire you to keep going and keep doing it. You know, because if you like no anybody that says like, I'm not afraid of anything, like, they're lying. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're straight up lying to you. You know, people will fight hard because they are afraid of something, a failure or losing or, you know, whatever like that. So it's like, you need the fear in order to fuel you, you know, in order to keep you going. And yeah, that idea of, oh, being comfortable. Oh, well, we did it. Now we can relax. But it's just like, you can't have relaxation. Like you have to kind of always be on hot coals when you're pursuing these types of things. You know what I mean? Because that's what's going to produce the work. Because if you don't, then it's like, okay, I made this thing and now I can just kind of coast on this one success. And, you know, that's it. But, you know, Kirk, you know, you wrote the Tomb City. Like, we did the you know, the narration, all that stuff, but it's not like you were like, all right, well, I've done it. Now I'm not going to do anything else. Like, I'm not going to write anything else, whatever like that. It's like, that's not the case. Like, you know, still plenty of stories to tell.
For sure. Go ahead.
Oh, but, and it's like, you know, they can just live in your head if you wanted to. But the thing is, you sit down and you do the work because you want them to, you know, you want there to be another narration or, you know, whatever to go along with the story that's been written. Like, you know, it's constant. Like, you have to get used to, you know, cranking it out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And that was a big lesson I had to learn, like, with just exercising. Like, I would finish a program and I'm like, yeah, I did that. That was really hard. And then I would, like, take a couple of days off or, like, take a week off. And then it would be like, oh, well, I can take another week off. And then I can take another week. Like, I've learned the hard way multiple times that you can't do that. Like, you have your recovery week or whatever in between, and then you start something new.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, then recovery week, like, you're still moving your body, so you're still in that habit, and then you go from there. Because for me, like, once I fall off, like, I fall off for a while, and then it's a pain in the ass to work yourself backwards. But that's what I need to, that is still something I need to work on with in my writing life is that when the one thing's done, immediately start the next thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's always, I mean, I have multiple things going at once, but still, like, when something is done, you got to pick up the next thing, because that momentum is very, especially in the early, early days, that momentum is very, very easy to lose.
Yeah. Believe me. Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you know, I've been there too. It's like the, I don't know why it happened, but it was like the past 8 or 9 years had been that kind of like that excitement. I start strong and then there's like this lingering and there's just like this fear that gets in there and it needs to be this type of quality. It needs to be, you know, blah, 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 right? You know, all the things I tell myself it needs to be, and you know, health would come into the way, and it's just like, well, I'm, you know, I need to heal. You know, it's a big thing in the book, like resistance and healing. It's like, oh, I need to heal up before I do the work, or I need to, you know what I mean? I need to feel inspired before I do the work. And it's like, you know, you can't wait. You have to lean into that discomfort. You know, even if it's crap, you know, one of the things he was describing was, you know, this, he's like, this book, this paragraph that you're reading right now went through some revisions. Like, I wrote it maybe this way the first time, and I went back through and I decided to edit it and, you know, whatever, and see how it reads after that. And, you know, you have to, you know, like my dad would say, it's like, you know, release multiple versions of it. Like, here's, you know, maybe not the best looking sketch, right? But mm-hmm. you can always go back and rework it later and rework it later, rework it later until it is, you know, to the final version. So, yeah, it's just a lot of that kind of hammered in, like just keep working, keep moving. Because as soon as you stop, then, like you said, it gets easier to be like, oh, I can take that day off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I don't have to necessarily do it, you know, today, or like, you know, let me just wait till the weekend. And it's just, you know, it gets easier and easier to have the excuse be normal or be routine at that point, to the point where you're not doing it.
I think that's the only, like, that I'm in that right now. Like, I am 100% fucking around instead of doing the things that I should be doing.
Yeah.
And I need to sit down today and do some work. I think that's literally, he nails it. And I mean, like, a lot mm-hmm. of others, people that we've talked to say the same thing. And I love, like, I don't know. I can hear this stuff over and over and over, and it still doesn't stick in my stupid brain, which drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's you and me, bro, brother.
The difference between the professional and the amateurs, the professional does the work.
Yeah.
And I can say that, but I need to do it. I need to do it all the time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And that's like why it was, That's why it was like difficult yesterday to, you know, just be reading those sections, because I'm just like, I've had times where I've been at the pro level, but I easily slink back into the amateur because it's just like, oh, well, oh, I just love the work too much. Or like, oh, well, it's like, no, but you know, you're not in it. You're not doing it like every day, like you should be doing. At least practice. Doesn't have to be, you know, a full beautiful masterpiece. It's just, you know, working on anatomy, working on eyes, working on facial expressions, like, you know, that was stuff I used to do. But, you know, once you kind of maybe not like unconsciously just kind of miss a day, and then you're like, they miss another day, and it's just like, well, I'm gonna work on this piece, and then it's just like you're trying to be really exact with it, and, you know, you're spending days upon days on it, but you're not getting like any other practice in.
Mm-hmm.
Then it just becomes more difficult to actually, you know, rein yourself in and, you know, do the work that you need to do. So And like sometimes I'll trade like other work for other work. And it's just like,
productive procrastination.
Yeah. But nothing ever gets done. It's like there's a lot of half finished things, you know?
Yep.
So
I get you. I mean, and that's like even when I work with kids and talk about memorizing the multiplication facts, like that's a big thing with teaching elementary school kids, like especially fourth and fifth graders, is getting them to understand the value of knowing those. And it's like, hey, like you don't need to memorize everything in math. You don't need to memorize everything in life, but these like really works out to be maybe 40 out of the, I don't know, 100 something facts that you actually need to memorize because of things like commutative property and the identity property and zero being everything you multiply by zero, but whatever.
Yeah.
Like these will make division easier. They make fractions easier. They make move it like working with decimals easier. Like in, trying to explain to them that like when this is automatic, it frees up space in your brain to do the rest of the work. So you're not sitting there skip counting on your fingers, or you're not sitting there repeatedly adding six over and over until you get to 54 or whatever. Like there's just some things that you have to do. And I think that's like with Jackie talking about, you know, her 15 hours of work every week put into drawing.
Yeah.
Like those are the reps to get the, this is how I always draw eyes. And then it's like just an automatic muscle memory thing.
Oh yeah.
Even like, you know, again, like come back to exercise, the first time you do a bicep curl or a pull up or whatever, like your form is funky and you can't, you don't do it right. And then if you do it 100 times or whatever, and suddenly you have something down that's easier. Like the work becomes easier because you don't think about it as much.
Yeah. It's just, it's smooth. It's very smooth.
Yeah.
It's like right now it feels rough and it feels like, I don't know. And, you know, even say like if I'm just like a freely sketch or whatever, like I'll get way too obsessed on trying to make it look good, and not just get it to be representational. And it's like, then you get frustrated and you put it down and, you know, you go and do something else or whatever. And, you know, you're still at least attempting it, right? But, you know, just let it be bad. Sometimes you just gotta let it be bad. You know, speaking to the audience and I guess to myself too, and you know, whatever. It's just like, I mean, I have my sketchbook on my bed right now because I'm like, okay, well, I'm not gonna go out and been having too much fun lately out and about. I mean, I got excited because you know Nick's in town now, and you know that's cool. But I'm like, you know, and then I was talking to Canadian Batman about this kind of stuff, and because I told him I finished the book. He's like, all right, good job, buddy. He's like, so what are you going to do now? And I'm like, well,
I think you know, Brian is that, shit, is right. That person. He's the guy that you need to be like, okay, well, cool. Now, what's the next book about? Like, you know?
Yeah.
I think everybody needs that dude who's very matter of fact or person like that in their life. I think that's an important person.
Well, for sure. Because, I mean, he, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But yeah, I mean, he goes through it too, because learning like French and all that stuff, like he knows if he's not up on his French, then he can't communicate with the people that he works with. So it's like, and that's huge because it's not his first language. Like that phrase I get from him, like, oh, I was having too much fun. I wasn't catching up on this or catching up on that. And now I'm behind. And now it's like, you know, it just affects everything. So he has said to me, he's like, I get in my own way sometimes. I'm like, I get in my own way all the time. Constantly. I hate it, dude. I hate it so much. And it's just so normal now that I don't know how not to do that.
You just wake up and tie your shoelaces together in the morning.
Just tripping. Go all the way down the stairs. Damn it. Why does he keep doing this?
Yeah.
It's like,
what the hell's wrong with these stairs?
It's like, no, Brandon. What's wrong with you, bro?
Captain Brandon, there's something wrong with this cruise ship. Oh, I gotta note real fast. Lawrence Seawater came through with the zinger on that one. Brandon Cruisedale.
Oh, nice.
It's gonna be Brandon's cruise line. Where he gives Lord. He gives TED Talks.
And at the end of the day.
Yep, dry needles, everybody.
Yeah, he's a mess. He's such a mess when we go out. Like he did it last night too. It's just like what is he doing? I'm like, he's always working. I'm like, constantly. Mm-hmm. He just can't help himself. This is what he does. But yeah, it's like towards the end of the book. It's getting into like the artist's life or whatever like that. And, you know, it's that reason why, like, we can do these things, but it's because we're so stuck in normal, in the ego, wanting to keep things the way it is, that we're like, no, we can't do these things. We're like, no, we should just stay in our lane. And it's like, but no, you could do it. It's like, yeah, we could, but we should just stay in our lane. And it's weird how that just becomes a part of your life at a certain point. Like, it's just that is like the mantra. Mm-hmm. It's, oh my God, I am the artist of this and that. And oh, I do it because I love it so much, but I don't do it every day because it's like, no, like you realize that, and I realized too, especially this past year, because a lot of stuff had happened. I wasn't in the brightest of spirits or whatever like that, and you know, I had to seek counseling, and then I had went into the hospital, which I thought was my last time. And I had a different perspective on life. It was, I do love my art. I wanted to be, you know, back as my career path and all that stuff. But I also realized that it is not the thing that defines me, though. Right. You know what I mean? I am not just the artist. Like, I am, you know, I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a friend, best friend. Like, you know, there's so many, the connections that we have are so important, you know, and you know, art is just one of the things that I do, but mm-hmm. I would like to be able to do it to a point where it doesn't stress me out. Like, it's gonna stress you out, right? But at least like in the way of like, oh man, I'm working on a very hard project right now, but it's like I'm working on the project. I know that I'm gonna be able to get it done, and then I'm gonna work on the next project, rather than like I was so wrapped up in this thing being so tough and the performance and being afraid to show it to people that I never got it done. Right. And that's something I don't want to have to do for the rest of my life, because that's not living.
No, it's not. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, but I think the professional, for the most part, is at least able to like balance that out. Like, they do love it. Mm-hmm. You know, they are making money, but they still have a life outside of it as well. Yeah. I mean, they work hard as hell, you know, for all of you guys listening out there and everybody that's been on the podcast, that's, you know, been a guest and all that such, like, you guys work hard as hell. You know, I know you guys love what you do for sure. And you guys, you know, you guys still have lives outside of that too. But I guess for, say, people who, like, you know, like myself, who have been so afraid that I let this thing consume me, it you know, that's a wake-up call. It's big time. Like, you need to make this more manageable in order to actually have a life. You know what I mean? So
I get you. It makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know,
because figure out strategies to deal. Well, it doesn't sound like it's like, I think, what do you mean, Mick? what more manageable, like the project, or more like your fear and anxiety around the project?
My fear and anxiety around the project.
Yeah.
Because it's like, if, you know, approaching it from more of the professional mindset, like, I don't think I'd feel the way I feel about creating and all that stuff if I had that more like professional mindset. It's like, all right, well, this is a project I'm working on. The project is done. It can be critiqued by people, and I'm working on the next project, rather than like, this is my life's work and I've worked so hard on this and it needs to be perfect and I can't show it yet because it just cannot be consumed by human eyes. And it's like, that has taken over my life so much where, you know, it is, you know, it's debilitating, you know. And it shouldn't be that way. It really not should not be that way.
No.
Yeah.
No, it should not. Well, you wanna close? I thought I pulled this up because I'm a fucking.
My bad. Yeah, I didn't.
No. You're good. I don't want to keep you too much longer because I know you're not feeling so hot. But I pulled this up when I thought about like talking about fear today, and I think I've read this to you before. But there's a thing in Dune that the basically the Jedi, George Lucas, you need to thank Frank Herbert, recite when they talk about fear. And it's, I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I'll face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain.
Yeah.
So I think it's like not denying it, but like, again, like it, with any strong emotion, letting it pass through you, like experiencing it, letting it pass through you, and then being like, okay, now what do I do? And it's almost like you're saying, like with getting finishing a piece of work and then being like, okay, what's next? I think you like allow yourself to experience that emotion, and then it's like, okay, I've done that. Now what do? Now what's next?
Yeah.
Instead of like denying those emotions. Cause I feel like, you know, you deny them, you bottle them up, you try to rationalize, like explain them away instead of experiencing them. It just makes things worse.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. I love that. I love that passage. Cause I know, cause I never read Dune, but from watching like the trailer, they mentioned like that first part and then that last part. It's just everything, you know. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's just you at the end of the day, you know. You've fabricated this, or even amplified this one little thing that you may be afraid of, and turned it into a boogeyman. And you just have to, you know, it's there. The fear is there, but what are you gonna do about it?
Yeah, what are you gonna do with it? That's like that, what you call it. I think I sent it to you. I got to look up the artist. Maybe I'll see if I can like regram it or whatever. But there is regram. Got to learn how to
regram.
I sent it to you, but it's the four panel comic of like the creepy demon thing in the lady's room, watching her sleep. And then she like wakes up and then it says, oh, you're back. And then she hugs the sleep paralysis demon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, you can allow your fear to paralyze you, or you can, you know, put it to work, embrace it, and let it pass through you.
Yeah.
We're deep down the sci-fi hole today, actually. Like
a little bit.
I know Caitlin Yarsky had mentioned this series, and I listened to the first book on my way home from Texas. What turned out to be quite the sojourn, but whatever. The Wizard of Earthsea, and how like the main character is a power, like he's got all this potential to be a wizard, and he lets his pride get the better of him, and you know, typical fantasy fashion, and unleashes something into the world that's like this darkness that pursues him wherever he goes, and if it like gets control of him, it can, you know, basically possess his body, whatever. And a big thing in Earthsea is knowing the true name of things. So like wizards don't ever share their true names with anybody but the people they absolutely trust, because if you know somebody's name, you have power over them. So this character tries to, he spends most of the novel trying to determine the name of this shadow so he can dispel it from the world, because it, you know, causes such a problem for everybody and for him. And like, he just constantly is obsessed with this thing. And big spoiler alert, people.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, just stop. Well, I mean, he chases this shadow to the end of the world, and he's, you know, going to fight this thing and die trying if he has to, because he has to remove from the world. And he realizes at the last moment it's him. It's his shadow.
Yeah.
And so he calls it by his name, and it's dispelled. But his pride and hubris and everything and all of the, you know, it's his ego.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he purges his ego from the world, and then everything's hunky-dory. I need to read the next couple of books, but I really enjoyed that one. Ursula K. Le Guin is a fantastic writer for anybody who has not read her stuff. Left Hand of Darkness is still like one of my favorite sci-fi stories of all time.
Yeah, and it's
so well done.
What was it called again? Earthsea?
A Wizard of Earthsea. I have the audiobook of it. I'll shoot it your way.
That'd be cool. For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I'm scared as hell to go into this next project, but
yeah.
There's so much potential for cool things. So
oh dude. I mean, I can see it in my mind. I guess like part of that fear is like, will I live up to my expectation? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But
or the expectation of the muses, you know? Right.
But you know what? At the end of the day, Corey, a message from Brandon Cruisdale, like, this is what this next thing that we do is not going to be the only thing you do.
Right.
So even if this thing is not amazing, it's still better than not having created anything at all, because this is just one rep closer, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Spiritual pull-up bar. Oh man, I want to watch Midnight Gospel again.
Dude, I was going to do that the other day. Probably will. I'll probably crack back into it. It was a good series.
Yeah.
It's a very good series.
But
yeah, no, it's going to be okay, guys.
Don't worry. It's going to be hard, and we're going to, I'm excited to start. I'm excited to like get into this. Like I'm getting itchy with the planning phase. I know it's important. Like I see the point, and like every time we get together and meet, like the vision of what is happening becomes clearer. But like I'm excited to get started, and I think I just need to get started. Like there's no reason for me not to get started.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, that's like the trap of that start on Monday. Like I see the point. When people say like start a new habit on a Monday, start a new exercise program, start X on a Monday. But unless you're saying that on Monday, you just need to start that day, because you'll always find a reason not to start. Like, I farted in the car and I may have streaked my underwear a little bit. Like this is a terrible Monday to start a creative project. I'll wait till next Monday. Like I could do diets and like exercise programs and stuff like that. Like, if I start today, like the schedule's gonna be weird. I'm gonna have to work out on the weekends and like da 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 da. Like, no. You just need to fucking
do it.
Put the pants on and do it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like today I'm just gonna do a little bit of sketching and all that stuff. Nothing too crazy, just kind of getting back into it and try to find a good time to, because I was talking to Brian about this. It's like, what my plan was, okay, well, you know, I had been working throughout the week, and it's like after work, I go to the gym. It's like everything that I put on my schedule for the week usually gets done except for art time, because it's like, I don't know what it is. Either I get wrapped up in just being tired or like being frustrated. Or being stressed out, and I just like don't get to it. But I was like, I'll save it for the weekend. I'm like, but I don't ever want to do anything on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Not like in like just straight up nothing, like just window shutting down. Like,
you don't want to do work.
Yeah, I don't want to do as much work. But I think I need to do it during the week, even if it's like just for like 2 hours, and it's not like, you know, a grand masterpiece. It needs to be, you know, like I said before, like anatomy practiced, or like eyes, hands,
I have a good idea.
Whatever. Yeah.
I have a good idea for next week.
Hmm.
I'm going to talk to Sarah of Hunting the Moon.
Yeah.
And we're going to have her come on. And I think she's going to do a live coaching session with you. Because I need this too. So I need to go back to this again, because the problem was, like, she helped me set up a schedule, and then I was on my schedule and there was some accountability, but not enough. And also I moved, and see, excuses, and I got off my schedule. And so I went from being very productive and like very proud of myself to where I'm at right now and feeling like a piece of shit, but not taking the steps to jump back in. So I think, like, I needed this discussion today. I think,
yeah.
I know. Actually. And I think it'll be important to have that discussion with Sarah next week, but we'll get her on and have her coach you through a plan.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Helpful.
Yeah.
So I will get on that this week. And so stay tuned next week, people, for an episode with Sarah and Corey getting coached, because like I said, it was really helpful to me, and I was on a really good schedule for like a month, and then I fell off like an asshole. So now I just need to get back on.
Yeah, me too.
But
it's like, it'll get there. It's definitely going to be a little back and forth, but I'm going to try and just like, and now, you know, like, usually when you have to fucking say that, right? I think the strategy is trying to tap back into younger Corey, who would just draw stuff. Like, you just do it, man. You literally just go into his room, close the door, and just start drawing. Just like whatever. Just, you know, like it's no big deal. And I think I need to treat it like it's not a big deal, but obviously know that, you know, it needs to get done. So it's gonna be like a weird kind of strategy around this, because my fucking difficult ass, but
well, it's just gonna be a matter of finding what works for you.
Yeah,
because that's a big part of it too. Like, you know, everybody works differently. It's a matter of, just regardless of how you work, the work needs to get done. So it's right. Finding what's gonna be, like what we were talking about with your dad, what makes sense in the natural workflow. So it's not extra, it's just part of what you do.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so it'll try it out this coming week, and then we'll get Sarah on to whip me into shape.
I need it too. I definitely need it too. So it's an excuse for both of us
to for sure
get some assistance, because, you know,
you
need it sometimes, man.
Definitely. I don't like asking for help, but I'm like the one that needs it the most. So
I'm not asking. We're doing this next week.
We'll do it together. No. I mean, just like in general, but yes.
I know. I'll digitally hold your hand.
Oh my God, that's so sweet.
I know.
I appreciate that.
That's me.
You know, I like that a lot.
Yep.
But I think that's it, people, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good spot to leave off. So don't forget, people, as always, to rate, review, and subscribe no matter where you consume us, whether it's iTunes, CastBox, Spotify, whatever. The rating, the reviewing, that stuff helps us a lot, because God knows what the algorithm thinks about us, but, you know, who gives a fuck?
I don't. Clearly.
Yeah. So make sure you do the rate, the review, and the subscribe on all of the all of the platforms. Remember, take your parents' phone, subscribe to the show. They can be surprised at it. Check us out over on Instagram at Schemes Come True Network. I'm gonna put up a couple of things there today, actually. Some new stuff. Toss a little bit of Dune up there. We need to be better at our social media rituals.
Oh God, yeah, dude.
That's what we should start doing. Treat it like it's a some kind of ceremony, light candles. You like, you're into all that shit, lighting candles and like circles of stones. So like, why don't you make yourself a little altar? You can push your, with the phone stand in the middle and put on your cape.
Yes.
Just you with like ram's horns naked in your cape.
Oh my God. That's exactly what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And go back to the witchy store.
Yeah, you gotta go back to the witchy store. Like, I'm here to, I need help with social media ritual.
Build a shrine.
Shout out to Old Gods of Appalachia for coining that phrase. I love the idea of a social media ritual. That's what they say. Like, so for anybody who's looking for a good creepy fiction podcast to listen to, check out Old Gods of Appalachia. And when they like do their, you know, in the technical terms, the call to action, their whole like thing, I really enjoy this. I think it's very clever, is that they refer to the listener as family. So it's like, hey, family, you've gathered around to listen to this story. And it's like, don't forget to complete your social media rituals, you know, so it's like the like, the rate, the review, the subscribe, all that stuff. So very clever on their part. I would really love to have Steve, old Steve of Appalachia on here sometime just to talk to him, because I'm a fucking dork. I would have to have you ask all the questions because I'd be fangirling the whole time. But no, maybe that's what we need to do. We need to figure out a way to make fun social media fun for us. But shout out to them for coining that phrase. And then the other person that got that idea stuck in my head was this artist named M. Peterson. You can find them on Instagram at Resubee, Resubee. And they made these really cool little pocket shrines for a project through this artist.
Pocket called shrines.
Dude, I'll send these to you. Maybe I'll put these up on Instagram too.
Be cool.
Yeah, there's an artist collective out of Minnesota called Light Gray Art Lab. I've sent you some of their stuff before.
Oh, yeah.
They make some cool shit. But
I like their stuff, man.
They did a project that's like this thing called the Mysterious Snail Mail Swap, where they contact 100 artists, or 100 artists sign up, and they each make 100 of the same item based on a theme. So like for this Resubee person, she chose to do both Pandora's Box and a thing called the Tomb. And so for Pandora's Box, she made these little pocket shrines that say, algorithm pocket shrine, blessed be your content. So it's just quick little matchboxes, but yeah, they're pretty cool. So shout out to Resubee, shout out to Old Gods of Appalachia for the inspiration. But you know, we can use any help we can get, right?
Oh dude, yeah, we need it. We definitely need it at this point. So just
reach out to Resubee to be on the show. But either way, people, check out the social media. There'll be some stuff up there today. And if you like what we're doing, you want to help fund these mysterious projects that we keep talking about, please make sure to head over to patreon.com/schemescometrue to become a subscriber. We've got a whole bunch of content over there, different podcasts. We do movie reviews. We do like watch alongs. Recently, we started a show that is tentatively called Insert Cat Pun Here, which is Corey. Oh, I couldn't think of a good name for it. And all the stupid Samurai Pizza Cat titles have bad puns in them.
So, oh, that's true.
All the ones that I could think of were really inappropriate. So I was like, I'm just going to say,
sounds like you.
Yeah, it does sound like me. But we've been watching and reviewing episodes of the 1990s anime Samurai Pizza Cat.
Yeah.
Pizza
it's been
Cats.
Pretty fun.
It's been fun, and it's super stupid. And
it's so stupid.
Yeah. But, you know, we have a good time. So. Check that out over there. And speaking of Patreon, thank you as always to our lovely patrons. They are the handsomest, most magical, and just generally attractive people. So
sexy.
That's what happens at all tiers. That's actually a reward at all tiers. It automatically it bumps you up. It bumps you up on the 1 through 10 hotness scale at least half a point. So
at least half a point.
At least half a point. So I can, dude, if I started paying into our Patreon, I could go from a 4 to a 4.5.
Better watch out.
But thank you as always to our patrons, Peter B, Sean J, the head turners, the lovely, lovely Seymour Butts. Barden Creative, who I get to see in a couple of weeks. Very excited. The young guns, soon to be married, Cam G.
Young gun.
Who also needs all the extra points you can get. Gotta take him down. Gotta take him down a peg on that one.
Ooh, damn. Fight him.
And our resident cars expert and conspiracy theorist, Jake, thank you for your support.
Yes, we'll indeed. Thank you, guys.
All right, people, we'll talk to you next week.
Later, guys.